John, you good, Matt? John chapter 11. All right. I think we're all equipped, locked and loaded. All right. Okay. John 11. Down by verse number 6, if you could, John 11, 6. I'm going to need some extra amens today to help me out. Thank you, sister. Thank you. John 11, verse number 6 is where we'll start. Now, if you're following the Lord Jesus Christ or trying to, let me just get an amen.
Amen.
That's pretty good, pretty good. I heard a lot over here. It's very strong right here. How about this side? No, that's kids in the garden. I forgot who I'm talking to. You're all pious and dignified. All right, but if you're following the Lord Jesus Christ, there's always this fear, and you don't have to say amen to this because I'll say it for you. There's always this fear that you're going to be the next one who's going to fall. You'll be the next one who's gone, the next one who's missing, the next one who's out of the race. And if you've been here for any length of time, and some of you have not, and some of you have, but if you've been here for any length of time, you know there are folks who have just fallen away. And not today. Today's an extraordinary day. Don't be like, oh no. No, today I know the weather and stuff like that. Some parts of Jersey got pretty banged up. People on vacation. But you know there's people that are just not here anymore. And I'm sorry to report that they're not in other churches. They're just out. They're out of fellowship. They're out of the race. They're just out. They're out. They just dropped out of anything to do with God. And, you know, it's sad and it's scary at the same time, because it's sad that you see some of your brothers and sisters stumble away, and it's scary because you have this fear, like in a horror movie, you might be next. Like, am I going to be the next one to fall? Am I going to be the next one to just throw in the towel? But what if Jesus Christ gave you a way to guarantee that you'd never stumble and you'd never fall as a believer? Would you want to hear that? I feel like a real infomercial person right now, you know, but if Jesus Christ had a way, if Jesus Christ told us, how do you keep yourself from stumbling? How do you keep yourself from falling? How do you keep for yourself from just being a has-been in the faith? I think you'd be willing to hear it. I know I would want to hear it. Would you want to hear it? Amen. It's right here in our text. All right. John 11, verse 6. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, meaning Lazarus, his friend, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. We talked about that. Then after that, meaning after those 2 days, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? He says, they tried to kill you, bro. Verse 9, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. That's, look at verse number 9 and 10. Look at it. Jesus Christ is saying very clearly, very plainly, and very categorically, if you walk in the day, you will not slip, you will not stumble, you will not fall. But if you walk in the night, you're going to bust your face and fall flat on your head. That's what he's saying right there. Now, we're going to break that down, because there is not the secret. It's hiding in plain sight. There is Jesus Christ saying how you keep yourself from falling, how you keep yourself from stumbling, how you keep yourself from tripping up as you walk and try to follow God. You've got to walk in the day. So let me ask you again, and feel free to participate, class. Do you want to keep yourself from falling? Amen. Well, then, my question for you, and I guess the title for this is, are you walking in the day? Because if you're walking in the day, you're not going to fall. You're not going to stumble. So are you walking in the day? Let's see what that means from this passage today and try to just be an encouragement to you this morning. That's what I'd like to do. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for your example, Father. I pray, Lord, you give me some of that, Lord. Help me to set my face as a flint. I pray your people will be strengthened, encouraged, Lord, just revitalized, Father. Walk out of here more determined to follow you, Lord, and stay close to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, first thing I want to say is this. If you're walking in the day, that means, number one, you are walking with the Lord. Okay? You're walking with the Lord. Look at verse 9 again. He says, if any man walk in the day, Jesus said, if any man walk, notice the words, in the day, he stumbleth not. You say, what is that about, the day? Well, in Genesis chapter 1, you don't have to flip over there. But in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 16, the Bible says, the day is when the sun rules. It's when the sun is out for everyone to see. And in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, it calls the Son of God, S-O-N, Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, it refers to Jesus Christ coming as the day and his person as the day star. So that means if you're walking in the day, you're doing what you were made to do. You're walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the sun, the one who's out during the day. If you're walking with him, you're a lot less likely, Jesus says, to stumble and fall. Can you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? Look over there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Again, I'm trying to show you, how do you keep yourself from stumbling? How do you keep yourself from falling? You know, I say that as I sit here with my, you know, Memorial Sloan Kids caregiver's bracelet jingling on my arm, you know, as a reminder of all the things in life that burden you down and make you maybe want to throw in the towel, or maybe make you want to quit. But if you do some of the things Jesus says, you don't have to be a castaway. And I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to quit on God and give up on him because he's been too good to me. And if you look over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 5, look what the Bible says. 1 Thessalonians 5, 5, the Bible says, ye are all the children of the light. If you're saved, say amen. Amen, that's good. If you're saved, say amen again. Amen. Oh, right, I think I'm in the kids in the garden again. I'm feeling some enthusiasm in the room. Ye are all the children of the light. That's a sure way of saying you're saved. And the children of the day. You're a child of the day. Going all the way back to Genesis 1, you're a child of the day, not of the night. That's what he says, right? He says, you're a children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Right there in Genesis 1, when God split himself from evil, he says, this is day, this is night, this is good, this is bad. You're a child of the day. You're a child of God. You're a child of the King if you're saved. And if you're a child of the day, you're supposed to walk in the day. That's what you came from. That's what you're really a part of. And if you're walking with the Lord, you are walking in fulfillment. You are where you belong. You are right where God made you to be. You are doing what God made you to do. Walk with God. That is the reason for your existence. You want to know what's my, you know, I saw this book, The Purpose-Driven Life. You know what the purpose-driven life is? Walk with God. Don't complicate it more than that. Walk with God. That's what you were made to do. You know, God likes it when you walk with him so much that in Genesis chapter 5, he put this guy in the Bible named Enoch. And all we know about Enoch really is that Enoch walked with God. And he was so pleased, God, with how Enoch fulfilled his ultimate purpose that the Lord said, you finished your quota. Why don't you just come on home? You showed me, Enoch, that you just want to walk with me. So I'm just going to let you walk with me face to face forever and ever and ever. You know, God is looking for people that want to just walk with him. Question, are you wondering why you're here? I had a brother that used to go to this church say, I'm just struggling with why I'm here. And I very nicely said, it's kind of hard to get the answer when you step away from God. You know, it's like you kind of like smacking yourself with a foot and a hammer and saying, I wonder why it hurts. It's like you might as well do something smart and walk with God. He's the one with the answer, right? So if you're wondering why you're here, what's the purpose of life? Guess what? I would have to ask you, are you walking in the day? Right? Are you walking in the day? Because if you walk in the day and you walk with God, you know what the Bible says about your path? it shineth more and more. You get more and more light as to why you're here and what you're doing and what God's purpose and maybe specific will is for your life when you stay close to the one that is the light, when you stay close to the one that is the sun, when you walk in the day. But so many Christians drop out and drop off and then go, but I'm so confused. I don't know what's going on. That's why I'm not in church. That is butt backwards. All right. Can I be any more crude without being like crude from the pulpit? That is butt backwards thinking. It's like you're going the opposite direction of where you need to get help and thinking you're going to get help there. And then you'll come back to the place where you need to get help. You need to walk with the Lord, man. Talk to him. I tell my son Christian, hey, it's okay to pour out your complaint to God. Just don't cut off communication. Just talk to him and read his word. Hey, the essence of a relationship is communication. It's talking and listening, husbands and wives. Talk and listen. That's the bedrock of a relationship. It's not much harder than that. You say, how do I walk with God? Talk to him and listen to him. It's that simple. Talk and listen, and you can walk with God. Look at verse number 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Because there were some that just dropped out, even in Paul's day. But let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, amen, brethren, but let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. You know what bothers me, almost brought me to tears this week? And I guess this is what's on my mind, because I had 1, 2, 3 conversations just this week with Christians that used to be sitting in your seats, and now they're not. And it was just, you wanted to shake them, because they're doing such dumb things, and you're just like, you're dumb. Like, you want to say you're just being dumb. You're like, but you can't be that nice. You got to put on a little pious, like, well, I'm praying for you, I hope. But I got to be a little straight with them, and I was straight with them, and I'm being straight with you. There are so many Christians stumbling around out there because they're out of fellowship with God. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You say, oh, you're oversimplifying. I ain't oversimplifying too much. I might be hitting the nail on the head and you don't like how accurate I'm being. Because there's a lot of Christians out there stumbling. It doesn't mean you walk around with a crap-eating grin on your face all the time. I'm not saying that. I didn't like when my son threw himself into bed and said, I can't do this anymore this week. I didn't enjoy that moment. But it didn't make me say, God, you're a monster, you're evil, I'm giving up everything on you. Now, maybe those thoughts will come through my mind, I'm praying they don't, but I want to insulate you and insulate myself against those things and saying, get as close to Jesus as you can so you know what's going on. Because people are stumbling around because they're out of fellowship with God. And I will tell you this, and you could write it down and you could bet me on it and take it to the bank. Don't gamble, but you could proverbially gamble with me. The most miserable person on earth is a Christian who's out of fellowship with God. The most miserable person on earth is a person that is saved and know he's saved or know she's saved. It is not where God made them to be. And they just are never getting right. They can't put anything in their body, in their mouth, can't be next to anybody. There's just something off because they're not doing what God made them to do, which is walk with them. And I challenge you all today, you will never be fulfilled until you walk in fellowship with Jesus Christ. That is why you were made. That is why you exist. So how could you ever feel fulfilled if you're not doing what God made you to do? Hey, could a hammer fulfill its purpose if it never drives a nail? Right? That's what it was made to do. That it was made to drive nails into wood. That's what it's there for. Not scratch your back, not put in a light bulb. It was made to drive a nail. How can you be fulfilled without walking with Jesus Christ? How could you possibly expect to be satisfied? I'm getting nervous. My voice is cracking. How could you expect to be satisfied if you're not doing what you were made to do? Go to Romans chapter 13. Walk with God, man. Walk with God. Talk to him. listen to him. Don't overcomplicate. Oh, I got to hand out tracts. And Pat says, I got to do this. I didn't say that. I said, talk to him. And I said, listen to him. And if you could build that little muscle of talking and listening to him, if you could just do some reps with some light weight, and then the weight can build up. And you know what happens? Then you could throw something on the rack that's a little heavier. And then you're curling like 45s. And you're like, wow, you know, I'm curling 45s. How'd that happen? Because you started with little things. And see, all of a sudden, big weight gets thrown onto your life, and you're like, I can't move this, I'm stuck. Yeah, because you never did the reps with the low weight. You never kind of built that spiritual muscle. I'm getting a little pumped, right? You never built that spiritual muscle, because I haven't been able to lift in a few days. I never, not that I look like I lift a lot, but you never built that spiritual muscle, and then when life throws weight on the rack, you're stuck and you're sunk. Build that muscle now. Lord, here's what's going on. Lord, here's what's going on. What does your Bible say? Just build that spiritual muscle so when life puts weight and increases the resistance, you have built that muscle and you can stay strong and keep going and keep working for the Lord. None of that was in the notes. Romans chapter 13, verse number 13. Romans 13, 13. The Bible says this. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, that's like sleeping around, not in strife and envying. He's saying if you walk in fulfillment by walking in fellowship, you will walk faithfully. If you're walking with God like you were made to walk with God, you'll find you're a lot more faithful than you were before. You're like, wow, I'm doing what God wants me to do. Not because I'm forcing myself, because I'm where God wants me to be. Hey, if I screw this light bulb in and put it where it's supposed to be, it's going to naturally start shining forth some light. And if you're where God wants you to be, you know what's going to happen? Your good works are going to start shining before men. You're not going to have to drum it up and manufacture it up and read a book by some guy in the bookstore to try to give you some trick to fool yourself into being fruitful. You'll just bring forth fruit unto perfection. You'll just bring forth, it'll just happen. And he's saying, let us walk honestly as in the day. If we walk just like Jesus Christ were right here, you probably wouldn't pick that thing up. Probably wouldn't watch that thing, probably wouldn't say that thing, probably wouldn't roll with the people you roll with. If you walked as if Jesus Christ was right there, because he is, amen. He's right here, and he's definitely right here if you're saved. If you really believed that and walked in his presence, it might change your life. It would make you a lot more faithful. Verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. There won't be any room. You see, if you're walking, if you're close to Jesus Christ, there won't be room or time or inclination to go astray. You'll just crowd it all out with him. Look, when I spend time with my wife, and you know, I've only seen her for like 6 minutes in the last week because we cross each other outside Sloan because, you know, no, I was there one day. I saw her Wednesday. I was there. I lied. I was there Wednesday. But you know, you can't have two people sleep over at the hospital because then everything happens and the walls crumble. But we kind of just trade off here and there. But when I spend time with my wife, guess what? It's easy and natural to be faithful to her, right? Because there's a relationship there, right? There's a love there. There's a relationship and it's built and it's fostered and it's enjoyed. But when you wander away from your Savior, when you close the book, when you stop praying, when you drop out of church, amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. When you drop out of church, it's easy to stumble and fall. In fact, it's inevitable. It's inevitable. I'm not trying to be a jerk. And I know, look, I know I've sat where you've sat. I know it sounds self-serving to hear the preacher say you should be in church. Well, it's because you want people to sit there. I really don't care. Like, you're not paying my salary, so I don't really care if you're here or not. Like, I want you to be here, but it's not like I need to pay off a mortgage or something like that. I got a job waiting for me very soon, Rachel, very soon. And but look, I am just telling you lovingly, when you drop out of where God wants you to be, good things don't happen to you. You may get that buzz, and you may feel like, oh, this was great, but guess what? The next morning, I know how you're going to feel. And things are going to happen. I know how you're going to feel. Eventually, it's going to be bad. I'm just warning, because I love you. I'm warning you. I wish I could just tell you, you're great, I'm great, everything's great, and whatever you do is just going to be great, because you know what? You just deserve everything to be great. You deserve everything great. You could do everything wrong, and it should still be great for you, because you're just that great. I wish I could say that. If I said that, maybe I'd pack the place out and need a palace somewhere. But the truth is, you need God. He doesn't need you, but he would like to have you, and you need God. And if you say whatever my Sicilian grandparents used to say when they got upset, and just say, to God, guess what? He will let you be in your own stew and enjoy it and just eat it for a little while until you realize that you need him. And if you go back to John 11, I did not think that first point was going to be so salty, but I guess it was must be all the hospital food I'm eating with all the salt. John 11. It's very good, actually. I was the only person that I've been in a hospital. I think I gained weight because Christian wasn't eating. So I'm eating six meals. I got my six meals in yesterday and Friday because I would eat my meal and then he'd be like, I don't want it. So then I'd eat his meal and I felt like I was eating all the time. John 11, verse 9. How's your relationship with Jesus Christ? You spending time with him? You walking in the day? That's just, are you spending time with him, reading his word, talking to him in prayer? It's that simple. Jesus said, if any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not. So if you're spending time with him, now Jesus Christ could say that because you know Jesus Christ, your ultimate example? He was always walking with God. He was always right where God wanted him to be. So he had no fear of stumbling. Do you have fear of stumbling? It might be because you know that you're not really spending your time with him like you should. So I challenge you. Are you walking in the day? Are you walking with the Lord? That's number one. Number two, if you're walking in the day, you are walking in the light. Look at verse 9 again. Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not because he seeth the light of this world. And when you walk in the day, you see the sun, S-O-N, the sun, S-U-N, you see the light. And it's hard to stumble when everything's lit up and illuminated. But at verse number 10, but if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. It's easy to stumble and fall when you're walking around in the dark. When you're walking where your path is not illuminated, when you're walking away from the light. Have you ever tripped over something or stubbed your toe because you were in the dark? And you said, wow, I thought I stopped saying those words. And you stubbed your toe and you banged something. You're like, beep, you know, you just said whatever came out, right? I'm sure all you pious people, it would never happen to you. It might just only happen to people I know. But, you know, it's like, because why? Because you're walking in the dark. You wham, you walked in the dark. The other night they were trying to do blood cultures on my son, like almost in the dark. I was like, you can put the light on. It was like 5 o'clock in the morning. But you know, they're trying to do things in the dark. You tend to make mistakes. Nobody wants to fall, right? Does anybody want to fall here? No, nobody wants to fall. But when you're walking in the dark, you can't see. I'm sure somebody that said, I don't want to go to church anymore. I can't read that Bible anymore. I don't think they said, I want to end up, you know, addicted to something. I want to end up with a horrible feeling in my life. I want to end up broke as a joke. I want to end up, you know, sad and miserable. I want to end up suicidal and unhappy. I want to end up, you know, just no fulfillment and no joy. I don't think that there was isn't the intention. But when you start walking in the dark, you're going to get hurt. You're going to trip. You're going to stub your toe. Something's going to happen when you can't see. That's what's going to happen. And in John chapter 8 and John chapter 9, you're familiar verses. Jesus Christ said, the incarnate word said, I am the light of the world. Amen? Right? That's some of our brother's favorite verses, right? I am the light of the world. He's saying, by me, you can see. Amen? And when he was there on the earth, it was called the day. When he comes back, it's called the day of the Lord. Because the sun will be present and he'll be the light of the world. But unfortunately, he's not with us right now, physically. Literally, like right here. His presence is spiritual inside of us. So 2 Corinthians says that we don't have the incarnate word with us anymore to be our light in the flesh. But, and you know where this is going, we have the written word in this book to light our way in a dark, dark world. We don't have the physical Jesus, the Word made flesh, but we have the spiritual Word in this book that could be that light. Go to Psalm 119. Let me get you turned a little bit because you're looking at me a little owl-eyed right there. Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I'm on a contact high from rubbing alcohol. I don't know. Psalm 119, verse 105. Or Purell. Psalm 119, verse 105. All right. These are familiar verses, but look at them again. Thy word, not Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word, not my word, not your word, not his word, not her word. Thy word, God's word, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Look at verse number 130, same chapter, verse 130. Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of thy words, not my words. If you're living off me yelling at you for 45 minutes or an hour once a week, you are walking in the dark. You got a lot of shadows you're contending with. You need to get some of his words yourself and enter in every day, because the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Look at Proverbs, next book over, Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 23. Proverbs 6, 23. Proverbs 6, 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction, that's God kind of say, don't go that way, don't go that way, are the way of life. He's saying God's word is a lamp in your darkness. Look, anybody done any camping here? I like to do camping. Used to go camping once or twice a year, right? Do some camping, right? You don't step out of that tent without your lantern, right? You're going to go do your business or go like find the nearest bathroom, because I camp at fake camps where you go in the woods, but there's a shower and a bathroom over about a quarter of a mile down the road. Guess what? You got that lantern. Because you walk around in the wilderness without a light, you're going to walk into a tree, you're going to trip over a stump, you're going to kick a raccoon or something. Something's going to happen. And that lamp, that lantern, it's not going to light a quarter of a mile. It's just going to light those next few steps. But that's all you need. And his word is a lamp, not a floodlight. His word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. It's just going to give you enough light for the next few steps, the next few minutes, the next few days. I don't know what the future holds. That's because we walk by faith, not by sight. Right? If God just showed you everything for the next 20, 30, 40 years, 5 minutes, whatever it is, where's the faith? But if you have enough faith to trust God when you can only see a few feet in front of you, then you're walking by faith, a light unto your path. That's what this word is going to be, right? People say, I don't know why this happened to your son. I know exactly why it happened to my son. God is proving us. God is doing something through us. I'm not confused why. I didn't say I liked it. I didn't say I do it this way. I certainly wouldn't. You wouldn't either. But I know exactly why this is going on. This is my evil day. This is my ultimate proving test. God has said, I'm going to touch the things that are most precious to you right now and really see what you're made of, Pat. And I'm telling you, that scares me like it might scare you, because God might touch it. He just puts his finger on it. He says, I just want to see what you're made of. I'm not going to hurt you. I just want to see what you're made of. I got that from the Bible. I got that light from the scriptures. I got that from understanding the book and trying to read it every day, 10, 20 chapters a day. Trying. I don't always accomplish it, but I'm trying. But if I close the book and I run out in a field, I'm going to be just desperate. I'm going to turn to something like you will. The word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Go to Isaiah chapter 8. And I'm not a superstar, and I haven't apprehended, and I'm not saying I'm anything, but I do know why this is happening. Isaiah chapter 8, right? Now, if you think that means God is cruel, I can't change your mind, but I just mean that's, I don't understand God. If I understood everything God is doing, then I would be God, wouldn't I? So God does things I don't understand sometimes. And Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, look what he says. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. There is no other light in this world today that you can trust. Brethren, the world has gone dark. The world has gone dark. There is no light out there. In fact, they're calling darkness light. They're so backwards right now, they're calling darkness light. A 6-year-old could say, you need to do it this way. And they're doing it completely the opposite way that makes any sense at all. Because the world, we see it. It started back then, right? The divergence. But now that divergence has grown for 2,000 years. And now light is so far from dark that you look at the world and you go, what? Huh? He said what? They did what? What's going on? Yeah, exactly. This book is the only light you can trust. Go to Hosea chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6. It's back to the Bible, or it's back to the jungle. Hosea chapter 6. You mark my words, people will eat each other. Hosea chapter 6. Literally. Hosea chapter 6, verse number 5. That's in the Bible too, by the way. Hosea chapter 6, verse 5. Hosea chapter 6, verse 5. Look at the Bible says here. He says, therefore have I hewed them by the prophets. He cut them up. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. The light is strong. It's like the sun. You can't look right at it. And the light will cut you. It's like a sword. But you need it. I know it cuts. I know it sticks. I know sometimes I walk out of church, I walk out and listen to a message just bleeding from 100 holes. But you know what? It's good for you. God's judgments are as the light that goeth forth. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, which is towards the back of your Bible. 2 Peter 1. Hurry along with me here. 2 Peter 1. Look at verse number 19. Am I making any sense to anybody? All right, I know. I know it's rainy and a little lighter today, but just help me out. Remind me that you're there. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 19, the Bible says this. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto, because of that, ye do well, that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. He's saying, until the sun rises again, you better walk in the light of this book. Like you'd reach for a lantern when you step out of your tent in the middle of the night, you better reach for this book and grab onto this light because you're living in a dark, dark world. And he says, you would do well. He won't make you. He just says, you would do well. You know when they say against medical advisement, sometimes people do things. Well, it'll be against God's advisement for you to try to walk this dark world without taking heed to what that Bible has to say. It's just God's gracious prognosis for your walk right now. Amen. Somebody said this, you can't do the will of God if you don't know the Word of God. It's just that plain and simple. And D.L. Moody, a great old evangelist, said, I prayed for faith and thought that someday faith would come down and strike me like lightning. But faith did not seem to come. One day I read in the 10th chapter of Romans, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I had closed my Bible and prayed for faith. I now opened my Bible and began to study, and faith has been growing ever since. And that's how you're going to build your faith up. You're going to build it up by walking in the light of that book and obeying it as you understand it. You can't be held accountable for what you don't understand, but there's a lot you do understand. Honor that light. Question, is the Bible a big deal to you? I hope so. In a 168-hour week, how much time do you spend in this book? Just think about it. Just think about it. I know we got to work. I know we got kids. I know we got things to run around for. And we always make time for them. But do you make time for the only thing that's going to direct your path? And is it any wonder then why Christians, and maybe you today, are stumbling around in their Christian life? Why they feel like they're in the dark when their Bible sits gathering dust? You ever wonder why God's own people don't walk in this light when we know it's God's word? Like, I don't think I'm preaching to a bunch of atheists right now. I think we would all agree. Give me an amen. The Bible is the word of God. Amen? Right? I'm in the right auditorium. We'll go to John chapter 3. Let me show you why people don't turn to it and don't look at it and don't walk in it, even though they know that it's the word of God. John chapter 3, verse number 19 has the answer. John 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Just like they rejected the incarnate word, our flesh hates the written word. Hates it. Verse 20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You know what this book does? This book exposes things. They've always hated God's word. They always hated God's preachers of God's words. I know this is not a popularity contest. I know it fails miserably as a popularity contest. The Bible says in Amos 5:10, they hate him that rebuketh in the gate. The worst job in the world was to be a prophet in the Old Testament. You probably ended up dead or the most unpopular guy in prison. This book, it brings the thoughts and intents of the heart to light. Verse 21. It's the same reason some people don't go to a doctor, because they'd rather not hear any bad news. Just ignorance is bliss. Just, you know, wake me when it's over. Oh, they will. Verse 21. But he that doeth truth, are you doing truth today? He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. He says, if you're walking in the day, you'll spend time in this book to make sure you're on course. Don't you want to stay on course? That's how you keep yourself from stumbling, from running into a guardrail, from smacking into a tree, from making a wrong turn that costs you 10 years of your life. Just check in with the Bible to make sure you where you need to readjust. Look, if you want to install something correctly, let's say in an appliance or a hot water heater, or, you know, I had these guys do my HVAC a year or so ago. You know what they have to do? They had to check the manual and check the code to make sure they did it right when inspection came. And if the day is coming that's going to declare your work at the judgment seat of Christ, the Bible says the day shall declare your work. If that day is coming, you better check the manual now to make sure you haven't missed anything or wasted something, or have the inspection day come and say, this doesn't count. This is all a waste. I don't want that to happen. Look at 1 John chapter 1. Check the manual, man. Just check the manual. I don't know what it's going to tell you. I don't know what the Lord's telling you right now. 1 John chapter 1. Put this water here. Let me try it. Now that I'm almost done. 1 John chapter 1. Look at verse 1. He's speaking about the word of life. It's the incarnate word, and we could spiritually take away things about the written word. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. My hands have handled. You're handling right now the word of life. They physically touched him, but you spiritually touch him by handling his words right here. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it. It's in front of your face, right? And bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Amen and amen. You come to the word of life to save your soul. Come to the word to save your life. Come to this book to redeem your life from destruction. He says in verse 4, he's only imploring you to walk in the word of life because it's going to keep you joyful. Full of joy. He says, this then we've spoken unto you, that your joy may be full. Are you running low on joy today? Doesn't mean your heart's not heavy, but joy is like a river that runs beneath your feelings, that you can access and say, even though weeping may endure for a night, joy cometh in the morning, right? You got that little river that's running underneath it. You know, I saw this week what happens when your hemoglobin is low. My son Christian got to the hospital and his hemoglobin was low and he was just headaches and fatigued and just wiped out. He had to have transfusions, which is all part of the process, they tell me, though it doesn't look very fun. He's running low on oxygen because that hemoglobin carries that oxygen to your cells. And when your hemoglobin's low, some of us have been there, right? Our hemoglobin's low, you're just like, as my grandma would say, Shangad. You're just like, bleh. You know, you just feel lousy, right? I wonder, are you running low on God's breath? If you ain't got enough of that book in you, you ain't got enough of God's breath in you, God's spirit running through your mind, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be a little spiritually Shangad. You know, you're going to be a little sluggish and weak and wiped out. And in 1 John 1:7, he says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If you walk in the light, this book is going to keep you clean, keep you revived, keep you strong. Why? Because it's going to remind you of who you are. Walk in the light, and just so you know, the blood of Jesus Christ is keeping you clean. But you don't remember that when you shut the book and walk away. You forget so easily that what God has done for you. But if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all our sin. Doesn't mean you got saved again. It just means God's reminding you when you're walking close to him and you're walking in the scriptures, that book reminds you you're clean, you're washed, you're mine, you're saved, you're going to heaven. My Holy Spirit's inside of you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Don't be afraid. I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. I love you with an everlasting love. Nothing shall separate you from my love. He reminds you those things. You're clean because you're walking close to him. Look at nothing. Charles Spurgeon said this about John Bunyan. You heard of John Bunyan? He wrote Pilgrim's Progress. They said of John Bunyan, if you cut him, he'd bleed scripture. That's quite a testimony. I like a testimony like that. If you cut me, I'm just going to bleed out. But I'd like to just have that type of testimony. And in the cover of his Bible, John Bunyan wrote a very famous quote that some of you have heard. Quote, either this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. John Bunyan, who says he would bleed scripture, they said of him, he wrote that down in the cover of his Bible. Sounds like a good thing to write, maybe in the cover of all of our Bibles, literally or spiritually. Burn that across your head and burn that into your soul, because this Bible will help you, or if you walk away from it, the stuff you are involved in will keep you from it for a long time. So, are you walking in the day? Are you walking in the light of God's Word? If not, I'm telling you right now, you will fall. You will fall. There is no exceptions to that. You will stumble and fall. Doesn't mean you'll go to hell, but your life might feel like it. You might be banged up, scraped up, messed up spiritually if you don't keep your face in the book. And finally, this is the one I like the most. Go to John 11 again. All right. Are you walking in the day? Walking with the Lord, walking in the light. And if go back to John 11, I'm going to end with this thought here. It's not that long, but it's the one I like the most. And I think it's the most direct one that Jesus Christ is meaning in this passage here. So it might get you shouting the most, I hope. If you're walking in the day, you can walk at liberty. Free from the fear of being taken down by something outside of your control. Free from that fear. Watch verse 6 again. Watch it. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Because he had crossed Jordan. In John chapter 10 verse 40, they tried to stone him. He crosses Jordan. He leaves that area of Judea. And he stayed there. But in verse 7, then after that he saith he to his disciples, let us go again into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus Christ's disciples, let's just name it. They were afraid. The last time Jesus was there, they tried to stone him. They saw them pick up the rocks, and they tried to kill him. And now, I know how we get. You would look at those disciples, and from the human standpoint, I'm not knocking them, his disciples were being sensible, prudent, careful. We would say, using wisdom. Got to have wisdom. Got to use wisdom, Pat, right? They were being wise. One problem, the disciples forgot God. They forgot about God. And I'm all for wisdom, but not when God tells you to do something or be something or go somewhere. I'm all for wisdom. I don't want to tempt God, but you know what? You can't forget God in this equation. And in verse number 9, it's an amazing response that Jesus gives. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day?" In other words, Jesus Christ reminds them that no matter what anybody does, there's still just 12 hours in a day. In other words, no matter how loud the kings of the earth rage, the sun is still going to rise and set when God tells it to rise and set. So they could pick up their rocks. They could threaten me. I know you're scared, but hey, ain't there 12 hours in a day? God's the one in control of this whole thing. God's the one in control of when the sun rises and falls. So ain't no big deal. Let's just follow him and let's see what happens. How many times did they try to kill Jesus Christ before the cross, but it didn't happen because it wasn't God's time. God said, no, 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 it's not nighttime yet. It's still the day. Luke chapter 2, you don't have to turn there. Luke chapter 2, Herod slaughtered all the children 2 years and under, but he missed Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 4, he's in the synagogue. He's right there. He says, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. And the people in the synagogue chased him and tried to throw Jesus Christ off to the brow of the hill, off the city hill over there in Jerusalem, tried to chuck him off the city precipice. But you know what it says? He passed through their midst. Explain that to me. An angry mob pushes me up to the edge of a hill and he just walks right through them. Wasn't God's time? Are there not 12 hours in a day? Go to this one, Luke chapter 13. I like this one. Go to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Isn't that encouraging? Luke chapter 13. I know, my goodness, the world is like scaring the life out of you. Man, rain is coming. This is coming. That is coming. This. It's like, that just, can you take it easy for a second? Turn off the TV. My goodness. Just tell them, just look back at the anchor and say, are there not 12 hours in a day? Right? Luke chapter 13, look what he said here. Look at your Savior right here. They try here, the Pharisees, I guess they're trying to scare Jesus Christ with Herod's death threats. And look what he says in Luke 13, 31. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. They're trying to skip, get out of here, they're going to kill you. 32, I love this. And he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow. And the third day, I shall be perfected. Look at the confidence of your Savior. Look how he walked at liberty from all that stuff that was trying to scare him from what God wanted him to do. He says, come on, I'm working here. I feel like the guy, like, was that Dustin Hoffman crossing with that Midnight Cowboy? I'm working here. When he smacked, I shouldn't have put that in the message at all. But so, he's working here. He's like, I got something to do. Go tell that fox. Keep figuring out what the fox says. Go figure it out over there, Herod, because I've got something to do. It's the day, and God says, I'm supposed to be here, and I'm not moving. You say, how did he get that liberty? Go to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 30. John chapter 7, verse 30. Oh, man, all these times they tried to kill your Savior, and it just wasn't his time. Just wasn't his time. John chapter 7, verse 30. Look at this, John 7, verse 30. Verse 29, he tells these people that don't like him, I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me. Woo! That's it. They just, blood pressure went to like 190 over 150, and they're like ready to explode. They're grabbing rocks. They want to grab him. And it says there, then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him. Why? Because his hour was not yet come. Because God said it wasn't time for that to happen yet. Are there not 12 hours in a day? God's going to determine when it's time to set the sun on your life. God's going to determine when things rise and fall, right? And he says right there, if you go back to 11:9, go back to 11:9 of the same book, 11:9, I want to read it again. I want you to see it again. He says, 11:9, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? In the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not. Jesus Christ didn't stumble because he knew God alone controls how long the day lasts. Jesus Christ was free from fear because he knew that God was in control of his life. Are you? Am I? Do you know that God determines when the day begins and when your day ends? God determines that. He determines that. And listen, we are living in a world that wants to put you in bondage with every fear that's going to get you. It's all going to get you. Watch out. It's going to get you. The virus, the Taliban, the government, the Chi-Coms, the terrorists, the virus, the variant, the rain, the snow, the sun, the wind, the virus, the climate, the virus. They're going to kill you. That's what the disciples said to Jesus. They're going to kill you. That's what they said of Herod. He's going to kill you. They're going to kill you. And can I tell you, no matter how loud the fear-mongering gets, are there not 12 hours in a day? God's going to determine when things rise and fall, when the sun comes and sets. Go to Job. Go to Job chapter 12, oldest book in your Bible. Isn't that encouraging? That doesn't mean you're foolish. That doesn't mean you stop going to the doctor or you stop eating right or you stop exercising or you go home and drink bleach. That would be stupid. Don't do that. All right? But nothing's happening unless God lets something happen. Right? I know a story about a guy, a songwriter in our hymn book that tried to kill himself several times in the same night, William Cooper. And he tried to put himself on a knife and the blade broke. He tried to hang himself from his bed and the bed snapped. Nothing like that happens unless God allows it to happen. Because there's 12 hours in the day. God determines that. Not you and not me. And not the government. Can I say this on behalf of everyone? The government is not God. Can I say that? That was almost my message. Right? You are not God. The government's not God. God is God. And there are 12 hours in the day because God said so and God decreed it. And you got these wackadoos seeding the sky clouds to try to change global warming and save us from the apocalypse. Man has lost his mind and the hubris is so great that he's so blind and that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Because are there not 12 hours in the day? God is still there. God is still in control. God is still God. And in Job chapter 12, a long time ago, in a land far, far away, they were talking about this, and Job was suffering. And in Job 12:4, he said, I am as one mocked of his neighbor, who called upon God. And he answereth him, the just upright man is laughed to scorn. There's Job suffering, and he's taking it on the chin, and people are mocking him. Verse 5, he that is ready to slip with his feet is as a man despised in the thought of him that is at ease. All the world's looking at you, oh, you're going to just trust God? You're just going to trust God? Where's your Jesus now? Where is the promise of his coming? They're looking at you like somebody ready to fall, like Christianity and God's people, ready to fold, ready to give up, ready to stumble. That's the way they look at you because they're at ease. They're sitting there with more than heart can wish and watching you, you know, stumble. I had someone this week say, oh, the prayer requests, they're not in church anymore. All those prayer requests are coming across. They're so depressing. Yeah, it's easy for you to say that when you're not in church. It's easy for you to say that when you've dropped out and given up on everything, to sit on the sideline and say, well, look at you Christians. Look at you suffering. Look at you. That's what he's saying right there. Verse 6, the tabernacles of robbers prosper, and they that provoke God are secure. Into whose hand God bringeth abundantly. God lets it all happen. God lets it all play out. God lets sometimes the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. He lets it happen. He sets them in slippery places, Psalm 73 says. But you know what Job says? Verse 7, but ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee, or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. You know what they'll tell you? Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? In whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? You look at the wicked, and they're trying to tell you a very different narrative, a very different story, that we're on our own, and we got to lift ourselves up. And you just watch a sparrow get its food every day. You just watch the lions cry out, and a gazelle comes walking by. You just see all the natural systems. We're still here, people. The earth is still here. The water is still here. We're doing a pretty good job, I guess, of messing it up, but it's still here, and it's going to be here as long as God says it's supposed to be here. The ravens don't wander for lack of meat. Aren't you better than an unclean bird like that? Fear not, you're of more value than many sparrows. And he says, you know what they tell you? That everything is in God's hands. His soul, the breath, is in God's hands. So when all the threats that they throw your way, that make you feel like you're going to fall, please, do yourself a favor. Don't forget God. Don't forget God. He alone determines your day. He determines when the sun rises and when the sun sets. So it would be a good idea to get as close to him as possible. David Livingston, great missionary to the Congo, said, I am immortal till my work is accomplished. The safest place to be is the center of God's will. That's the safest place to be. Be where God wants you to be, and you're right where you need to be. Amen? That's what Jesus knew. That's what we have to get. I was talking to Maurice. Maurice LaPierre called me this week. Brother Maurice called me, and I said this on Thursday night, if you were listening. If not, I'm giving you the cheat sheet here. All right? He said, brother, you know, he said that the people are, I'm not going to do a bad impression of him. He just said, you know, the people are always saying to me, brother, you're going to get killed. That's what they said. His people is in his church and his friends are like, you're going to get killed, Maurice. You're walking around the countryside. There's gangs, there's guns, there's kidnappings, there's rapes, there's ransoms, there's extortions, there's disease, there's turmoil, there's calamity, there's lack of government. He goes, you're going to get killed. And he said to me without any kind of, he wasn't trying to sound pious at all. He kind of laughed. His Maurice laughed and said, brother, If I don't do what God tells me to do, then I'll get killed. That's what he said. And I said, man, brother, that preaches. You're right. You say, oh, I got to go out there and they're going to get me. If you're doing what God wants you to do, that's right where you need to be. And if God wanted something to get you, you couldn't run from it anyway. You just want to be in the center of God's will. Because the darkness can't get you when you're in the day. The light scatters the darkness. So don't be afraid, brethren. Don't be afraid. If you walk with the Lord and you walk in his light, you have nothing to worry about. You're walking at liberty. Jesus knew that. That city was full of people that wanted to kill him. He said, I'm doing my cures. I'm doing what God wants me to do. Just keep doing what God wants you to do. Don't worry about mandates. Don't worry about diseases. Yeah, be smart. Wash your hands. Do the stuff you got to do. I'm not saying that. The government's going this way. This is going that way. The inflation over here. All the stuff that just vexes you. Keep doing what God wants you to do. Because there's only 12 hours in the day. And God will take care of you. Take your pills. Buckle your seatbelt. But you're not done till God says you're done. And the sad part of it is some people have passed because God said they were done. Because God is the one that controls the day and the night. Jesus Christ walked in liberty and he didn't stumble because he wasn't worried about his skin and saving his neck. He was worried about serving his God. So when you get overcome with fear and a fear of falling and something, the walls closing in on you, because I feel that way too. You know what you got to do? Ask yourself, am I worrying about saving my skin? Or am I worrying about serving my Savior? If you worry about serving your Savior first, you'll be okay. No matter what happens, you'll be okay. No matter where you are, you'll be okay because you're right where God wants you to be. Go back to John 11. We'll end right there. I'm ending right there. Promise. Give me a few more minutes. I'm not even a few minutes. I'm done. John 11, I just want to look at this verse again. So, brethren, I ask you very soberly and very honestly, are you doing what Jesus Christ told you to do? Are you doing what you know you should be doing? Are you walking in the day? So you know what the devil does? Let me lean in real close. The devil makes you think that you are powerless. He just makes you feel like, just get on board the Jesus train and hope for the best. It could derail on you. You could be the next one who's a casualty. You could be the next one whose life is a shipwreck or a train wreck. But you know what that is? That's a lie. It's not this train you just got on and it's like, I'm just helpless with everything that happens to me. No, in this verse right here, Jesus Christ assures us that you can choose to walk in the day and keep yourself from stumbling no matter what the ride is like. Look what he says in verse 9, the middle. If, see that word? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not. That if is up to you. That's not on God. That's not on the circumstances of life. That's not on your family dynamic. That's not on the economic conditions of the time. That's on you. If you walk in the day, you won't stumble. If any man, not just Jesus Christ, any man, anybody sitting here today, if you take Jesus Christ up on his offer, you don't have to go through your life like a mess. Like a weak, defeated, aimless Christian who's up again, down again, here again, gone again. You don't have to be that person. If you walk in the day, if you'll do what he says, don't answer out loud. Do you want to be another empty chair? Do you want to be another life made shipwreck that becomes a bad example brought up in a sermon somewhere? Are you just willing then to walk in the day, to just keep yourself from falling? That's all we're talking about. Just walk in the day to keep yourself from falling. That's it. This is to help you. Walk with the Lord. Walk in the light and you will walk at liberty because you're walking in the day God has prepared for you. And when you're right where God wants you to be, you have nothing to fear. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads. We'll have a word of prayer. Let's pray.